Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah. It's Friday. I know that means an off weekend for most people. But not me, damn it. I got to work through the weekend, but it's all right. It's all right because I got the NBA to talk about. I got Big Perp in the house with me. Kimberly Martin is coming in here with me as well to join Molly to try to gang up on me. It ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. That's why they tried to soften me up by starting the show off with Big Perp. Like I'm supposed to be intimidated. Well, guess what? I'm not. And you know why? Because I suspect that come Monday or Tuesday, I'm actually going to be in warmer weather than Big Perk himself. I'm just saying. First takes in a half. Let's go.
I just knew, you know, for a very long time, this was a perfect fit. Just from top to bottom, it made sense. You know, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. Joe is playing the best he's ever played. As far as me, I got to make sure I'm great. I'm healthy.
We've heard the word championship being thrown around here.
Hell yeah.
Good day. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take on this Feel Good Friday.
How you
Hello.
Doing?
I
How
see
you
doing? Repping the HBCUs.
Always.
I like it.
Always.
Chris
always.
Paul sent you that, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. I mean, I had it made. He's the one he sent me to where I needed to go get it made at and all that stuff. By the way, the hair do nice.
It's good?
Nice.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying?
I slept in the city last night.
All right.
So I'm not going to be cranky today because I got a lot of extra sleep. There's supposed to be a snowstorm in Perth. It's only rain. That's how it always goes, right? Whenever you think there's going to be, then it doesn't happen. And
Here's what I'm going to say. What? Meteorologists make me look like a prophet because they're usually wrong.
Yeah.
I just want to say
you have an obsession with weather,
you know what I'm saying?
I know it's bad.
I just say
when
that.
My sister, who rarely watches, is like, Stephen A. really likes the warm
First of all, that is a lie. Don't lie to the American public. Your sister watches
She's at work.
She still watches us. She's got the smartphone. She's watching us because her sister is on there, and she knows who her sister works with. You know what I'm saying? That's why she's watching.
Okay, let's go. Hey, Burke. Guys, we are just over 6 weeks away from the NBA playoffs, and it's a new dawn, and it's a new day. The Joel Embiid and James Harden era is expected to begin tonight. Championship dreams. Philly is in Minnesota. Here's Doc Rivers on Harden.
You bring an offensive guy that has a ball in his hand, you know? And so guys have to figure out where to stand, where to be, where to pick, where he likes picks, when he's off the ball, how he likes coming to the ball. There's a lot to learn offensively. And in a lot of ways, he'll be your him and Tyrese, they'll be your primary ball handlers. And so it's just going to take a little bit.
Let me just say one thing really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably the greatest NFL playoffs we've had in some time, right? When you say they were unreal, can I get you to focus, please?
Yes, I am.
Okay, stop texting. Am I correct?
I'm very focused.
Am I correct?
I'm always focused.
Right? NBA, the NFL playoffs were unreal. I am so excited for these NBA playoffs. I think they have an opportunity to surpass that. So with that being said, Stephen A., what is at stake for Harden in Philly now that we're about 6 weeks away from the play-in tournament?
Well, before I answer that question, let me say this. At the start of the season, you will recall, Molly and Perk, that I was on the record saying this had the potential to be the greatest NBA season ever because you saw the multitude of championship contenders. The only thing that has tarnished it is the unavailability of players. Imagine for a second if Ben Simmons had played. Imagine for a second if there was no vaccine mandate that kept Kyrie Irving out of home games and out of the first half of the season entirely. Imagine if Kawhi Leonard were not hurt. Imagine if Kevin Durant hadn't missed the games. Imagine if AD and LeBron James hadn't spent time on the injured list themselves, or at least out due to the injury and stuff like that. Just imagine if all of those things had not occurred because we didn't anticipate that they would. And guess what? We'd have an even better season, and the season has already been exceptional as far as I'm concerned. With that being said, let me state this. I think that James Harden's legacy is on the line. And I don't mean that, Perk, as it pertains to specifically this season. But in Philadelphia, James Harden had better damn well help this team get to an NBA Finals, or he will forever be scarred. Because when you consider the greatness of a James Harden, the fact that this brother went straight 8 straight years averaging no less than 25.5 points per game, that he went 4 or 5 straight years averaging no less than 29 a game, that the brother is a former league MVP that spent 3 consecutive years averaging over 30, 30.4, 36.1, 34.3 during a stretch in Houston, considering his marksmanship, his ability to get to the basket, his just majesty in drawing fouls and things of that nature, being compared as one of the greatest offensive players to have ever played the game of basketball, in line with Kevin Durant, with the Michael Jordans of the world and others. Nobody's saying better, but they were talking about him being in that category as an offensive player. To now go to Philadelphia after forcing your way out of Houston, then Brooklyn, and to have Joel Embiid as your teammate, there is no question that, and considering what Daryl Morey gave up to get you, there is no question we take all of that into consideration, along with the overall greatness that we know James Harden to have, particularly with him being in Brooklyn last year and reverting to a true point guard where he's dancing on folks and creating shots for other people and averaging damn near a triple-double and being a top two candidate for league MVP honors before he messed up his hamstring later on in the regular season last year. All of those things taken into consideration. For him to go to the team that AI once guided to the NBA Finals with the likes of Eric Snow, or Tyrone Hill, or Dikembe Mutombo, or Aaron McKee, or George Lynch, and guys like that, for you to be there with Joel Embiid and nothing less than an appearance in the NBA Finals will do.
Well, first of all, Stephen A., I like your jacket. Let me say that. Second of all, let me correct you and Molly for something at the start of the show. The playoffs don't start in 2 months. The playoffs started last night. Because of the play-in tournament, the playoffs are this is the playoffs right now. That's why we're going to see playoff-type basketball, for the simple fact that teams are going to be fighting to get out of the play-in tournament, and teams are going to be competing to get into the play-in tournament. So the playoffs has, in my opinion, has officially started. Okay, that's the first thing. But see, Stephen A., here's the problem that I have. And me and you always disagree when it comes down to finals, appearances, and championships, right? Championships and finals appearances helps a player legacy, right? It shouldn't tarnish or hurt a player legacy, for the simple fact that it's a team sport. It's a team sport. It's not an individual sport like boxing or golf or tennis. This is a team sport. And I say that to say this, because James Harden could go out there and play his behind off. James Harden could go out there and average 30 points, 15 assists, 8 rebounds, and I mean have a spectacular playoffs. But Tyrese Maxey might not show up. Danny Green might not be able to hit a shot. We can't blame that on James Harden. So this is the problem that I have. Yes, he forced his way out of Houston. Yes, he forced his way out of Brooklyn. Yes, he's trying to put himself in the best position to try to win the championship. But overall, I think if he goes and just be the best version of James Harden, that's all we can ask. Like, you can't be held accountable for what other guys on your team do. Now, if he goes there and he stinks it up, then that's another story. But because this is a team sport, it's hard for me to just put that on him. And when we talk about his legacy and what he's already accomplished individually, because in your eyes, if it had to come down to it, Robert Ory probably would be the best player in the world. Greatest player of all time, because he got so many championships.
Well, first of all, that's real slick on your part, but you know better than that. But good comeback. Good try. I see you've been hanging out with Malika and Shanae, and they put you up to stuff like that, but it's okay. It doesn't work, though. Here's the reality of the situation, Big Perk. As we look, we understand it's a team sport, but we're making the assumption that Joel Embiid is going to be Joel Embiid. We're looking at the roster that he's joining, and we're saying, okay, they can do what they've been doing, but you're the person that's supposed to take them over the hump. That's why you have the Philadelphia 76ers going to the finals, because you're making the assumption that everybody else is going to do what we expect them to do. So what you're looking for from James Harden is to do what we know he can do. That's number one. Number two, I'm not so sure you can sit up there and say he's put himself in the best position to win. I don't know if being in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid and Daryl Morey is better than being in Brooklyn with KD and Kyrie, assuming availability is not an issue come playoff time. I don't know if Philadelphia gives Brooklyn, if James Harden has a better chance of winning in Philadelphia than he does in Brooklyn, because KD is that dude. When we think about Daryl Morey, we think about Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey loves stars, and he deserves a lot of props and credit for what he's been able to accomplish in his career as an executive. But in the same breath, Sean Marks is nothing to sneeze at. I don't think that Sean Marks has done a bad job in Brooklyn in terms of the talent that he has assembled. And I actually think he won the trade against Daryl Morey and the Philadelphia 76ers because of all the requisite pieces he ended up accomplishing, which filled a hole everywhere you turn in terms of a defensive stop, in terms of a playmaker, in terms of another shooter, in terms of an additional rebounder. He got all of that for the services of James Harden, who didn't want to be there. So when I look at it, I'm saying to myself, I get what you're coming from and all of that stuff, but if we're going to sit up there and elevate somebody's legacy because of what they accomplished, we can certainly put a stain on their legacy for what they failed to accomplish. Fair is fair.
Stephen A., he got out at the right time, and I wanted to address you because I saw your Stephen A's list yesterday.
We're going to get into that.
When you put out your top contenders. Yeah, I know, but at the end of the day, here's the thing. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets right now, they're in the play-in tournament.
Okay.
And their next four games are hard. Like, they could fall below 500. They could possibly miss the playoffs.
That's
so when I
happen.
Say James
Stop
Harden
that.
Put himself.
You know better.
No,
you
I
know
mean,
better
I'm,
than that.
I'm just telling you. Anything can happen in the play-in tournament. That's why it's there.
Like, no, when you're going against a team like. I mean, missing the playoffs. I mean, no, you know KD ain't missing
I'm
the
saying,
playoffs. He'll
I'm
be
saying,
back soon.
I don't know nothing. We haven't seen Ben Simmons play in months. And when you look at the teams that are in the play-in, but listen to what I'm trying to tell you. In order for KD to get out of the play-in tournament, I think he's going to need the assistance of Ben Simmons. If you look at the teams that are in the play-in tournament, they are dangerous. You look at the Atlanta Hawks, you look at the Toronto Raptors, and you look at the Charlotte Hornets. Stephen A., those teams have enough firepower that they could upset you. It's no guarantee that KD it could have an off night. That's all it takes in the play-in tournament. I'm saying the position that the Brooklyn Nets have put themselves in is no guarantee. I'm not saying that they're not going to make the playoffs. I'm saying it was a wise and smart move by James Harden because he saw what was going on. He saw what was transpiring. So at the end of the day, my point to you is this, and to the world, we have to stop when it comes down to championships and finals for as it defining or hurting a player legacy. If they performing at their highest peak, it's the same argument you and I have about LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I keep telling you that. Yeah, Michael Jordan went six out of six, but he had help. Guys stepped up. LeBron James, he didn't went to the finals, did his part, but the others around him didn't step up when they needed him to.
That's fair. But the flip side to that is that when LeBron lost titles, he lost with D-Wade and Bosh. He lost with Kyrie and Kevin Love. That's number one. And number two, here's my biggest point. The biggest point that I'm trying to make to you is this. Of course, we're going to pay attention to how James Harden plays. Of course, we know that he's a big-time player, and if other people don't show up, we can't hold him accountable for that. We're saying all things being equal, what we can't do is look at you and say you didn't do your job. That's all we mean by that. Let's not be literal. Everybody understands what we're saying here. If James Harden goes out there and averages 40 or 50 and gets no help from everybody else, we understand that's not on him. But what if he plays like people said he played in the past? Postseasons. That's a different matter. And that's all I'm saying.
All right, we're out. We're rolling here, guys.
We agree.
Thanks for listening, fellas. Don't sleep on DeMar DeRozan because the Lakers sure did. A man on a mission. He scored 37 on Thursday night, including 12 points in the fourth quarter and 5 points in the final minute to lead the Bulls to a 112-108 victory over the Atlanta Hawks. DeRozan has become the seventh player in NBA history to score 35 points in 8 straight games and the first since James Harden in 2019. Stephen A., you've been hot on DeRozan, but can he win MVP?
He most certainly can.
Okay.
I have DeMar DeRozan neck and neck with Joel Embiid at this particular moment in time. You're talking about 7 straight games of over 35 points. We're talking about the brother averaging over 30 over the, you know, scoring over 30 over the last 9 games. I'm looking at the standings here. Ladies and gentlemen, the Milwaukee Bucks are not in first place. Mm-hmm. The Brooklyn Nets are not in first place. Mm. The Philadelphia 76ers are not in first place. The Miami Heat are not in first place. The Eastern Conference participant, Atlanta Hawks, are not in first place. The team in first place in the Eastern Conference is the Chicago Bulls. And the team with the second best record, I mean, overall, they've got like the third best record, okay? Or the fourth best record, because Phoenix, Golden State, and Memphis, you know, percentage-wise, has a better record. And then there's Chicago Bulls. They're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. If the playoffs were to begin today, like KP says, the road to the finals must go through the United Center. I will remind everybody that this guy, DeMar DeRozan, is doing this in the house that MJ built. Mm-hmm. MJ. Michael Jordan, they got a statue outside of the United Center. That is where DeMar DeRozan is doing this. And by the way, he is doing stuff that even the great Derrick Rose, when he was healthy, because Derrick Rose was something special. I still love him. That's one of the reasons the Knicks are struggling right now, because they haven't had him. But the point is, Derrick Rose, when he was in Chicago and healthy, was on another level. And he still wasn't this. Zach LaVine, who's one of my favorite players. Okay, I think he's a showstopper. A matter of fact, I would not have said what I said about that deplorable atrocity that was the slam dunk contest Saturday. I would have said nothing like that if Zach LaVine was in it, okay? Because we know what that brother can do, all right? This brother is on the same team, and he's been dealing with some injuries. And DeMar DeRozan has held them up and then some. I want to announce to the basketball world, we look at Joel Embiid. I had him number one. Jokic is not somebody to dismiss or whatever. But I am telling y'all right now, nobody, and I do mean no one, can be definitively placed ahead of DeMar DeRozan for league MVP honors. He is doing his thing.
Well, Stephen A., it just doubles down on your point when you said about this season being one of the best seasons of all time. It's because of the play of guys like Joel Embiid, DeMar DeRozan, Jokic, Ja Morant, all those guys who's mentioned in the MVP conversation. And I said this last month on NBA Today. Look, this is one of those seasons where it's going to go every 2 weeks. We're going to have a different MVP front runner because guys are balling like that. But when it comes to right now, today, DeMar DeRozan, I'm giving him the slight edge over Joel Embiid for as the front runner for MVP. Look, he's been doing this. The Chicago Bulls, I believe, are on the 6-game winning streak. He's doing this. He's been doing this with an injured, if not available, Zach LaVine, no Lonzo Ball, no Alex Caruso. He has been balling. And guess what? He's doing it from the mid-range, and he's doing it at an efficient level. So efficient that I haven't seen a guy get buckets like this at an efficient level from the mid-range, area since Michael Jordan. Since Michael Jordan, name me a guy that got buckets like DeMar DeRozan is doing from the mid-range area, carrying the team and doing it at an efficient level since Michael Jordan. You can't. So with that being said, is when you start to mention his name with Michael Jordan and doing things to Michael Jordan caliber, is no doubt in my mind. And like you said before, they're number one in the Eastern Conference, and they have not been healthy. They're missing a lot of key pieces.
Caruso, Lonzo,
come on, I got
the whole bit. Listen, the only question, I ain't gonna lie, the only question I got about the Chicago Bulls this year, right, is what you gonna get from the middle with Vucevic, because he's not a rough rider. He can shoot the basketball, but you need a rim protector and a defender in the post, and that's a question mark with Vucevic. But everything else that they have in place, I got to tell you, I'm pleased with what I'm seeing. Go ahead, real quick, because I got something else to say, KP.
But Steven, and I just want to add, don't forget they picked up Tristan Thompson, who had 11-6 last night off the bench.
Time out. I did forget about that. I absolutely did forget about that. So I appreciate you, because I totally forgot about that. You're absolutely right. Chicago's no joke. And when Caruso and Lonzo Ball come back, you're just going to buffer their defense. And here's the thing that about, and I wanted to go back, because I got something to say, KP, that's really not about, it's not about the debate. I just need to state this. We're talking about a guy in DeMar DeRozan that's been class personified, always shows up to work. You know, you don't hear anything about him. He doesn't do anything to bring attention to himself. Absolutely, positively nothing. He just goes out night in and night out and ball. He is shooting 52% from the field. He is shooting 35% from three-point range, which is the best three-point shooting he has ever done in his career. On top of all of that, here's the bigger point that I want to say about DeMar DeRozan, because this doesn't get said enough. DeMar DeRozan was in Toronto with Kyle Lowry, his best friend, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, they were winning 58-59 games a season. They were the best team in the Atlantic Division. They were a top two seed in the Eastern Conference year after year after year. His problem was that he couldn't beat LeBron in the postseason, okay? So what happens? Dwayne Casey, an outstanding coach, gets exiled from Toronto and is forced to have to accept the job in Detroit, because who else was looking to hire him? And now Detroit's been struggling, and his record gets sullied when this man had proven to be an exceptional coach. He just couldn't figure out how to beat LeBron. He suffered.
Oh, you preach.
And you know who else suffered? DeMar DeRozan suffered. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I will remind y'all, when DeMar DeRozan was moved out of town and they acquired Kawhi Leonard, okay, who's to say that DeMar DeRozan wouldn't have won the chip? Because how did Kawhi Leonard win the chip? LeBron left the Eastern Conference, okay? And KD was hurt in the finals. So who's to say that DeMar DeRozan couldn't be sitting here with the same kind of stature that Kawhi Leonard has if DeMar DeRozan had been left alone in Toronto? And nobody brings that up, because that's how big time he was and is, and he's proving it right now.
Leave it there. Let's keep it pushing. I want to dive deeper into the East, guys. It's loaded, and clearly it's up for grabs. So here's how the Eastern Conference standings are shaking out right now. Stephen A., you mentioned this earlier. After last night's win, the Bulls have a half-game lead on the Heat. After that, the Sixers and Bucks rounding out the top four. Big Perk, who's the favorite to win the East?
Molly, Stephen A., this is a tough one. If I had to pick right now, I'm giving a slight edge to the Philadelphia 76ers, because I'm just thinking of the duo between Joel Embiid and James Harden. I'm thinking about that offensive firepower. I'm thinking about that high pick and roll. And when I said a duo since Kobe and Shaq, I'm talking about a guard and a big. I just can't process, how are you going to stop two guys that get buckets on the level that they get buckets? How are you going to stop two guys that are able to get to the free throw line the way that they're able to get to the free throw line? Think about this. Joel Embiid right now is leading the league in scoring. And he has to do it by shooting over double teams and triple teams and all those things to that nature. Now you add James Harden. James Harden is going to get Joel Embiid so many easy looks. I just don't know how a team is going to stop them offensively. And Philadelphia do have wing defenders. I mean, when you talk about Tyboe, he's one of the best, if not the best, wing defender in the NBA. Danny Green, he's a three-time champion. He knows how to elevate his game. And so when I look at this Philadelphia 76 roster, and I just look at those two in particular, I just don't know how can they be stopped offensively, and it's going to be hard to stop our game plan for them and make adjustments when the postseason comes. Well, the postseason is here, in my opinion, but I don't know how any team is going to make adjustments to stop those two, especially in the pick and roll.
I get where you're coming from. I'm thinking about how the 76ers depleted his bench a little bit, though. You know, you kept Thibault, you kept Maxey, you've got Embiid, Tobias Harris, and now James Harden. But what do you have coming off the bench? I think that's a question mark. And I got to tell you, as I sit here today, I know they've lost three of their last four, including the Philadelphia, where they gave up 42 and like 11 or 42 and 14 to Joel Embiid. But I can't jump off this Milwaukee bandwagon just yet. I'm just of the mindset that when I look at them and I look at the rest of the East, the question marks in Philly, the question marks in Brooklyn, Miami, still question mark, but I like them, and you know I'm rooting to be there in June. You know I had no problem with that.
I'm right there with you.
It's just that I can't. I get the impression watching Milwaukee, this is Milwaukee. We're the champions. We know we're the champions. And we're not going to show our full arsenal until it's time. It's similar to what we're looking at when we look at the Golden State Warriors. They're the number two seed in the West. And everybody's saying they're right where they want to be. Why? Because Steph, Clay, and Dre are three-time champions. Five straight trips to the NBA Finals. They kind of know what it takes. And I think when I look at Milwaukee right now, I don't blame you for saying Philadelphia. I would be inclined to say Brooklyn. If everybody were healthy and on the court together, Brooklyn would be my choice.
No.
But the one thing that I look at with the Milwaukee Bucks, which is why I put them at the top of the Heat right now in the East, is because I look at Giannis and Drew and Middleton knowing how to play their roles. And that's what I look at. And I just say, it's hard for me to get away from that chemistry, that cohesiveness with the chaos that exists within the Eastern Conference. I got to stay with Milwaukee, at least for now.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy, Stephen A., is that we actually could sit up here for hours and debate on why five teams in the Eastern Conference could really win the East. Yeah. From the Chicago Bulls to Philly to Milwaukee to the Miami Heat. But I will point out this to you about the Milwaukee Bucks, and this is something that I'm concerned about. Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton, all right, went from winning the championship to getting on a private jet to flying to winning the gold medal. And I'm just worried about their durability. I'm worried about those fresh legs. I'm worried about that because now that you done traded a guy like PJ Tucker, guess what? It's more on your plate, more on Chris Middleton's plate defensively. Like, he's gonna have to guard multiple positions now. It's no more, hey, if we face the Brooklyn Nets, P.J. Tucker is going to make it tough on KD. Chris Middleton is going to have to go check that. And I want to know is he going to have those legs and durability to be able to get it done on both sides of the floor? That's why I say it was very key when they lost P.J. Tucker. I was like, that right there bothered me.
He's in Miami.
I know Bobby Portis. He is in Miami. And I know Bobby Portis, look, he's been balling. But P.J. Tucker just bring a different type of tenacity.
I agree. Defensively. And he's in Miami.
All right. We'll leave it there. Big Perk, you'll be back with us. Coming up next, Kimberly A. Martin joining Stephen A. I'm actually Molly A. too, in case you're wondering. Hey, Molly Karam here. And thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Grambling State has hired ex-Baylor coach Art Briles as offensive coordinator. Briles was fired as Baylor's head coach in 2016 following the university's investigation into campus-wide allegations of sexual assault, including football players, has now been hired by Grambling head coach Hugh Jackson. Briles is 66 and has been out of college coaching since May 2016. Grambling State alum and former coach Doug Williams does not co-sign Jackson and the school hiring the former Baylor coach as offensive coordinator due to his well-documented checkered past. Quote, I don't know Art Briles. I've never met him in my life, but the situation, nobody else would hire him for whatever reason. I don't know why Grambling State had to go be the one to hire him, so I am not a fan at all. Asked whether he would continue to support the program, Williams said, oh, no, I can't do that. No, no, no. If I support them, I condone it. Kimberly A. Martin joining the conversation. Kimberly, good morning. Thank you so much for being with us. And I'll start with you here, Kim. What is your reaction to Doug Williams' quotes and the hiring of Art Briles?
Well, first off, Doug Williams is Grambling State. He is the face of that HBCU. For him and Shaq Harris to be against this speaks volumes. You know, a personnel executive texted me yesterday and asked, do you think the backlash and even Doug Williams coming out will make Hugh Jackson change his mind? And the first thing I said was, what else did Hugh Jackson need? What other evidence, you know, what really did he need before making this decision? Because if he was able to hire Art Briles, then own it. That's what I want to see. I want to see Hugh Jackson, a guy who has killed the Browns, killed the NFL for unfair treatment, not giving deserving people opportunities in the NFL, his own story, saying that he deserves to be an NFL coach and how he's been mistreated and not given fair opportunities. He's the one who goes out, gets a job at an HBCU, and hires Art Briles. And what has bothered me this whole time about Art Briles is the lack of what comes off as genuine contrition. You know, this is a guy who allegedly covered up sexual assaults on campus, or says he did not know anything about it, but the response has always been, you know, you report what you know. We didn't do enough. My apologies to anyone who suffered through all this. If you are genuinely contrite about what has taken place under your leadership, then the way he's acted, that those two things don't jibe to me. And for this to be the guy that at this type of university, what Grambling State means, it bothers me to no end, especially from a guy like Hugh Jackson.
Molly, I want to hear from you before I chime in, because I know you have a lot to say about it, and I don't want to take up time. I want to hear what you have to say.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
There's a few things I want to say. To your sure. Hugh Jackson point, Kimberly, and I don't want to convolute the issue and make it about race, but I do find it a bit baffling because I saw him in a sit-down interview on the 6 o'clock Sports Center I watch every night with Elle Duncan. It was an extensive interview, and it was so well done. And Hugh was frankly livid with the situation with Brian Flores and minorities not getting opportunities. And now Hugh Jackson is at an HBCU. That doesn't mean he's required to hire a black coach, but he did have an opportunity to hire a minority and instead went out and hired Art Briles with a very checkered past. I also want to say this. I don't want to say banning somebody from a sport, but I guess that's how I would word it in this scenario. And this is what I mean. So if somebody asked me, do you think Art Briles should ever coach again, right? I believe in second chances, and I believe in not judging people by their worst decision. And you can put Kimberly on the screen, too, because I want to hear her reaction, and Stephen A. as well. But this isn't second chances. This is third chances, and this is fourth chances. So he oversaw this program, and he did not take it seriously enough when we're talking about multiple incidents of domestic violence and sexual abuse. That's his responsibility. So if I can't trust you to care about young women, why should I believe that you can lead young men? So no, I don't think he should ever coach in any capacity in college football because of that very reason. The other thing, someone could come to me and say, well, the NCAA ruled that he didn't do anything wrong. You know why he didn't do anything wrong? Because there's no rule that schools or coaches have to report domestic violence or sexual assault. And that is egregious as well, especially after what we saw with Penn State and Jerry Sandusky. How was that rule not instituted? So, no, I don't think Art Briles should be working there. I'm baffled by the hiring by Hugh Jackson, and I think the NCAA needs to institute that rule because he's failed young women everywhere, and by failing young women, he's also failing young men, and he should be molding them and leading them. So, no, I do believe in second chances. This is not second chances. This is third, fourth, and fifth. And if you don't believe me, you can go on ESPN.com. There's extensive reporting by Outside the Lines. They do an exceptional job. And there is a laundry list of incidents that I don't have time to get into. Stephen A.?
I appreciate where both of y'all are coming from. There is no disagreement from me as it pertains to y'all position on this because I share it. But I'm going to be far more direct. Hugh Jackson should be ashamed of his damn self. Not like Hugh Jackson. He's been a guest on this show. This is an egregious mistake on his part. He should be ashamed. Because he comes across as desperate. Now, Hugh Jackson, for those of you who don't know, had a winless season, had a career 11-44-1 record as a head coach in the National Football League, had a 1-31 record over a two-year span, for crying out loud. And we all know, if you look at the numbers, when you look at Grambling State, offense wasn't their thing. As a matter of fact, their offense was offensive. It was just that bad before Hugh Jackson got hired in December. Okay, so we get all of that. And Art Briles, who had a 65-37 record at Baylor, and for the last 5 years, he had double-digit win seasons. 1 year, they averaged over 52 points a game, for crying out loud, at Baylor. And they were considered a juggernaut. Okay, we understand from a football perspective. But there's a reason I wore this jacket today. It's a jacket, historically black colleges and universities. And as a graduate of an HBCU, I understand that it's about being a leader of young black men. A black man in Hugh Jackson has been handed the reins at Grambling State. And Art Briles is who you bring in. Think about that for a second. Of all the candidates, black and white, out there that you potentially could have hired, you bring in a man that the NCAA didn't invoke a show cause penalty like they did against Kelvin Sampson. And that's a problem with the NCAA, which is why I'm glad you brought that up, Molly, because Kelvin Sampson, who's now the coach at Houston,
yeah.
Okay, this is a man that once coached at Oklahoma, he once coached at Indiana, and ultimately he was essentially banned for 5 years from coaching.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In college, because he made improper recruiting calls. But a man that has been synonymous with a sexual assault investigation that led to a few kids being indicted, at least two that I know of being found guilty, at least one of them sentenced to over 20 years in prison. The man that led that program is your hire at an HBCU. Now, I understand we can say it on any place, and I get all of that. But I'm representing HBCUs this morning. That's why I wore this jacket.
Yeah.
Because evidently Hugh Jackson needs to be reminded of why he got the damn job. Hugh Jackson is considered to be a good man. He is considered to be a man who is well thought of, who thinks beyond just the game itself and result. It's bigger than just wins and losses with Hugh Jackson. That's what he told us. That's the reputation that he's given to people, and this is the hire that you make. It is inexcusable. It is disappointing. And I'm trying to figure out how you can go and recruit on behalf of Grambling State, and that is your offensive coordinator that you bring into the rooms or to the homes of kids and their parents in an effort to recruit these players. And you say, this is the guy that we want. This is the guy that we want your son to play under. I'm about second chances. I'm not about cutting the cord and saying it's over. As far as I'm concerned, if you're not in prison, then you work in this society, you got to pay taxes, you got to contribute in some kind of civilized way. All right, we get all of that. But damn, Hugh Jackson? I mean,
but this isn't second chances for Art Briles.
I understand that.
Yeah,
I understand
so
that.
That's why
but
it is.
numerous universities led by white presidents and chancellors and stuff turned him down. But Hugh Jackson brings him on board. Well, damn. All I got to say to Hugh is, to me, it's not even about Art Briles is Art Briles, but I'm looking at Hugh Jackson, and all I got to say is, damn,
yeah,
bro.
But I don't want to, Kimberly, I want to get you back in here, and I don't want to gloss over the women as well. And
No.
And I want to get back to a point that you made, Kimberly, because I felt like it's so pertinent, is the fact that even if Art Briles had really shown remorse and said, you know, I spent some time at a shelter for domestic violence, I sat down with victims. And that's another part, how callous he was, and then also to receive this type of opportunity when there's so many men that are much more deserving. But I want to give you the final word here.
Yeah, it really just speaks to, you know, that Art Briles wants to be a coach and he needs other people to believe that he has learned something. I don't think anything since he last was a coach has demonstrated that he gets it. And he's on a college, like he's part of a college staff. And that's why, to me, Molly, your point about him coaching in college is so important, because you are supposed to be a leader. You are supposed to go in people's homes. You are supposed to give parents the sense that, yes, you can entrust your child with me. We are good. We will take care of your kid like he or she is your own, right? Is our own. And I don't see how Art Briles can be that person. And especially, and I go back to the HBCU part, because Grambling, for Doug Williams, the face of Grambling to say, I cannot condone this. And for the head coach who brought him in to be Hugh Jackson, a guy that literally has talked about how second chances and how he hasn't gotten what he deserves, to be that guy to give this man the another chance, it is mind-boggling to me. And I want to hear from Hugh. I want him to own all of it.
Well, I received a couple of text messages within the last few minutes. Okay. I don't know definitively who it's from, but it's clearly in support of Hugh Jackson.
Okay.
It talks about how he has, you know, he has a foundation, you know, that fights against human trafficking and all the good things that Hugh Jackson has done. Let me look into the camera when I say this, please. Hugh Jackson has always been considered to be a good man by most of us.
Yeah.
This is not an attack against the character of Hugh Jackson. This is an attack against the decision Hugh Jackson made to hire Art Briles. So whoever sent me these text messages, how they got my number, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoever sent me these text messages, let me be very, very clear. This is about the hiring of Art Briles. This is not about Hugh Jackson as a person. This is not about Hugh Jackson as a coach. This is not about Hugh Jackson as a human being. This is not bringing into question anything he said about Haslam with the Browns or anybody else. This is specifically regarding Art Briles. And yes, I will call Hugh Jackson because guess what? I find this decision to be egregious. Period. It is a better decision you could have made for offensive coordinator for Grambling State than this one. Doug Williams says it. Most people in the media, Keyshawn was talking about it this morning. Most people are going to say that. That's how we feel. This is about the hire. Let's not conflate things. Let's not confuse the issues. Let's not try to be evasive. You hired a man that oversaw a program rife with sexual assault perpetrators. The law has stated that. We've got people who are in prison because of it. As a result, nobody touched this man for 6 years for a reason. And if he's going to land someplace, it shouldn't be at an historically black college and universities when you had a lot of the players at Baylor, if not all of them, who were being accused of it, who happened to be black. Clearly, him being a leader of young black men is highly questionable. That's who you hired, Hugh Jackson. There's no way around that. So whether it's you or somebody else that are texting me with your stuff, I will happily call you. Hell, if you want me to, I'll fly down and visit you and say it to your damn face. It's a ridiculous hire.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
And Stephen A., let me just say this. If he does have a foundation eradicating human trafficficking, which is a very serious
issue. Props to him.
And very important to me. Yes, absolutely. I applaud him. But where's Art Briles' foundation? That's what I want to know. Where's Art Briles working on this issue? So, again, I just want to say this. If you don't care about young women, why do you have the opportunity to lead young men? We will leave it there.
This was an egregious hire. Plain and simple. Don't let them try to confuse the issue. This ain't about Hugh Jackson's character as a man. This is about your decision to hire this man. And you are going to be attached to making this decision for a very long time because of how the world feels about what Art Briles, at the very least, seemed oblivious to or turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to in a lot of people's minds. Mm-hmm. That is a fact.
Yep.
Get over it and deal with that reality.
Okay. We have to leave it there.